are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, January the 6th, and a win and a good job, good effort for the Pistons on Sunday in L.A. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well, up late with you guys on a late Sunday night, early Monday morning, as the Pistons were out west for a road trip that continues, the trip part of it, not the west part of it, continues on Tuesday with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Today's show, we're going to recap the weekend. I'm going to give you my three biggest takeaways, mostly from Sunday night. Give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons Dash. Matt Shook, if you're one of the regular listeners who wakes up every morning and sees that the Locked On Pistons podcast is in your queue waiting for you, I want to alert you to the fact that I did a bonus emergency podcast episode that went up later in the evening on Friday. So if you missed that one, go back and check that one out. That came after the news that Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN.com reported on Friday afternoon that Andre Drummond trade talks are heating up with the Atlanta Hawks, and then Vinnie Goodwill talks about the Raptors, Celtics, and the Mavericks also possibly getting involved. We broke that down, broke down what some of the scenarios are. You guys gave me some trade ideas of what you might want from the Hawks and some of the other parties. So a nice little jamboree where we talked about all that stuff, so check that one out on wherever you get your podcast feeds. But after that, the Pistons got the win on Saturday night against the Golden State Warriors, the lowly Golden State Warriors. This is the first time that the Pistons played in the new arena in San Francisco. They get the win 111-104 and looked good in a loss on Sunday night against the LA Lakers 106-99. Sunday was the ninth loss in 11 games for the Pistons, including, of course, the win on Saturday night. The Pistons did improve their record over the weekend, all in all, to 13-24, back to 11 games under 500, the low water mark of the season so far. Pistons improved with the win against the Warriors to 6-10 against bad teams, which is very bad, by the way. That's not a good record, even though they improved to it. And even worse, they dropped on Sunday against the Lakers to 1-12 against good teams. So those are two stats that jump out to me, that they're not beating bad teams and they're not beating good teams either. And although they are taking care of business against some of the teams close to them in the Eastern Conference playoff hunt, it's at this point not enough. But as we'll talk about later, big chance to possibly go on a run if that's what you want them to do coming up in these next dozen or so games. Pistons also now 1-6 on the second half of back-to-backs, with the one win coming in a game where the other team was also on a back-to-back. So really 0-6 in back-to-backs where you are at a rest disadvantage. So really not getting it done against bad teams, not getting it done against good teams, not getting it done in adverse situations. Good news is, if we look at the schedule, that the Pistons will have a situation where the opponent is on a second game of a back-to-back twice before they have to deal with it again later this month. With the weekend, the Pistons still in 11th place in the Eastern Conference, but now 3.5 games out of the playoffs. Although, like I said, soft schedule ahead, and maybe there's some ground to be made up against the Orlando Magic sometime soon. But if that's going to happen, they'll need some more good performances from Derrick Rose. He was strong on Sunday night in L.A., although we got the Twitter argument going on with some of the guys of Pistons Twitter saying, yeah, Derrick Rose played well scoring-wise, got to the free throw line on Sunday, but maybe wasn't creating enough for some other players, took some contested shots, ended up, I think, about 8 of 19 from the field. So, yeah, mixed reviews for sure, but certainly when you score a game-high 28 points, you're not the reason for the loss, no doubt about that. But I could see what both sides of that argument are saying, as I usually do. But 22 points for D. Rose on Saturday, 28 in the loss on Sunday. Uneven to poor performances from Andre Drummond on both nights. I'm going to say more bad than good. A strong third quarter against the Warriors on Saturday night. Certainly on Sunday, a rough game for Andre. Although we are being sensitive to the emotions of the pro-Andre crowd these days. I know it's kind of tough times for them with the news that broke on Friday. And the slander continues, of course, from a lot of corners of Pistons Nation and maybe some of your favorite podcasters at times as well. But 12 points and 18 rebounds and four block shots for Andre Drummond in 41 minutes against the Lakers. One of those games where he gave it his all, boarded pretty well, although you know only three of those were on the offensive glass. The defensive rebounding, not as significant as it used to be in today's NBA. We know all about that. The argument continues on and on and on about Andre Drummond. But me, you know, if you know me and you know this podcast, you know I'm going to be happy to move on from it, provided the Pistons get some kind of decent return when that hopefully happens sometime later this month. And we'll talk about the possibility of it not happening lot later on in this show as well. But the big news from the weekend, we'll talk more about him in a little bit, but Sekou Doumbouya, the rookie, third start in a row. And how about this? Kawhi Leonard on Thursday, Draymond Green on Saturday, and then Sunday against LeBron James. He had 16 and 10 and a plus 19 on Saturday against Draymond Green for much of that game until Draymond was ejected, and then Sekou fouls out on Sunday evening with 11 points and 5 rebounds. Strong early, nice cuts to the basket, knocked down a three-pointer as well. But, you know, it was a little bit non-existent at times, and that's one of the arguments against Derrick Rose having a fantastic game and maybe saying that, you know, so-so at the end of the day. When thinking about a point guard and when thinking about the kind of things, and I do agree with that sentiment, by the way. We're not going to get into it too deep today, but to Derrick Rose, a little bit of empty calories in some ways. Obviously having a fantastic season. Obviously the usage is very high. So, and it needs to be with that bench unit and with this injured lineup that he has to go up to war with night in and night out. But yeah, you just kind of wonder, are players developing? Is this team getting better with Derrick Rose on there? Certainly, if you trade Derrick Rose, you become a lesser team the day after you trade him. But the idea is that it lifts up other players and helps the development of other players as time goes on. Speaking of development of players as time goes on, Sfi Mikhailiuk, a strong weekend, 14 points in each of the games, although I know he struggled down the stretch in the Lakers game, was a part of some turnovers and some bad ball handling situations, which is an issue with Sfi Mikhailiuk, and it's why, and certainly he's not a guy that you'd ideally want in your closing five at this point, and with the Pistons healthy, he wouldn't be, but it's he's a bench guy, you know, at this point, and I think his ceiling is that of a good bench guy, and possibly, you know, stepping in at some certain lineups. But we'll talk more about the Pistons' future in the coming weeks. But the big story on Sunday in the game, not from a Pistons perspective, but slightly from a Pistons perspective, but the Lakers had 20 block shots in the win. Outstanding effort from those guys. You got JaVale, you got Dwight, you got Anthony Davis down there doing a lot of work. Only eight other times has that happened in NBA history where a team went 20 or more blocks. Unbelievable there. Also of note from the Pistons, a former Piston, Avery Bradley, went down with an ankle injury. Doesn't sound all that serious. May not miss time, but that could help the Pistons. They could use, if Los Angeles decides that they could use another guard, maybe if Avery Bradley's ankle injury goes on a little bit, it could be someone that they could look to replace. Or maybe if Bradley has an injury, whether it was tonight or in the future, or anyone. I mean, that's what you got to kind of look around at is these contending teams. Who has some injuries? Who has some real issues at backup point guard? Who could use another shooter in Langston Galloway? So that's the kind of issues that you got to keep your eye on if you want to be an informed Pistons fan down the stretch here. But we are now to the point of the easiest part of the schedule. More about that tomorrow as we look ahead to Cleveland on the road on Tuesday. But 11 of the next 12 games for the Pistons are against sub-500 teams. So the last stand of the Andre Drummond era, and it is an Andre Drummond era. I don't say that. Sometimes we're on Twitter and we joke about how a guy gets traded and then they trade him the next day and get rid of him. That the era of a certain player, Willie Reed, the player from the Clippers trade that we had for a couple days, he got waived after a week, the Willie Reed era. But obviously I think the Andre Drummond era is an era, and obviously it's a losing one, and it's not all Andre's fault. Certainly has to take some responsibility for all the things that have happened while he was one of, if not the best player on this team for many years. So all sorts of confounding questions, but all bad as we look back to the last decade of Pistons basketball. But over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about what's the things that they need to do to make sure that the next decade of Pistons basketball is not like that. But what you need to do online is you need to go on Twitter and follow Locked On NBA Net. That's a collection of all the hosts on Locked On Podcast Network on one Twitter feed. it's a really cool way during the day to catch up on all the big news and trade rumors, especially this season. You want to be informed. You want to hear what's going on from all the big accounts out there. It's not just Woj and Shams that you need to follow. There's other guys that break news about what's going on with some of those teams, and the Lockdown podcast hosts are a great way to follow all that stuff. And also on Instagram, LockdownNBAnet, your boy was featured on one of those the other day, talking about Andre Drummond, always highlighting the biggest stories of the NBA. Give those accounts follows if you would. But up next, talking three takeaways from the weekend. That's coming up next here on the Lockdown Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, I'm going to tell you the baseline of how I'm going to grade the Pistons front office this month with the trade deadline approaching 3 o'clock Eastern on February 6th. But I've got three takeaways for you, two bonus takeaways. But first, let's talk about the schedule this week. Home and home with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Tuesday night there in Cleveland and the mistake by the Malik. And then back in Detroit on Thursday. Pistons home again on Saturday night against Chicago. And then home versus New Orleans a week from today on Monday, January 13th. Could Zion make his career debut in Detroit? Not sure, but we'll check in with them later on in the week. The week ahead is some winnable games for the Pistons. But my three takeaways, we'll start with two honorable mention takeaways. And you know me, I'm not a starting lineup guy, not a lineup guy. I think that stuff's a little bit overblown unless there's particular combinations that are great. But I'll tell you what combination is not great, and that's Sunday night's starting lineup in which Dwayne Casey went with Tim Frazier, Sekou Doumbouya, Andre Drummond, Tony Snell, and Christian Wood. All role players. These are guys that play roles well. And yes, I include Andre Drummond into that mix as he's a very good, like an outstanding role player, especially if he ever would fully realize what his role is. And I know that's a little coaching staff and shortness of the roster that has something to do with that too. But man, Tim Frazier, Sekou starting his third game of his career. Christian Wood hasn't started very many games in his career. Tony Snell, who continues to be extremely disappointing this season before he went out with the migraine headache on Sunday. Sometimes I wonder if Tony Snell's alive. I don't mind the understated guy. We like the understated guy here in Detroit. But, man, show a little life. Meanwhile, coming off the bench was Derrick Rose and Bruce Brown. I just believe that, and I know they're shorthanded. I know it's tough to come up with good combinations. There's going to be bad players together on the court at times with the Pistons roster and injury situation being what it is. But you can't go out and start against the Los Angeles Lakers, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis. No, like you got to have Derrick Rose or Bruce Brown out there as catalysts to start something, guys who can get something going offensively, because what's going to happen is exactly what happened in this game. They fell down 15-2 right away. Svi Mykhailiuk, although not a strong playmaker, would have been more of a playmaker than all these guys on the floor. If nothing else, I would have preferred having Svi over a Tony Snell or a Sekou Doumbouya in that starting role, although I know Sekou was in for LeBron defensive purposes. But like I said, 15-2 right away. Tim Frazier sat his butt on the bench the rest of the night. No surprise to me. I think there is room for Tim Frazier to be getting some minutes out here, even with all the injuries, or especially because, only because, all the injuries. But starting against LeBron James at Staples Center was not the time for it. Pistons dug out of that hole eventually, but 15-2 was, I would say, a reason for the loss, one of the reasons for the loss on Sunday night. Another honorable mention, some good news. Langston Galloway, one of my favorite trade pieces for the Pistons this month, came into the game at 39.8% from three. A little bit of a slow go for him this last few weeks since the trade deadline season opened. Kind of predictably, he kind of fell off the map a little bit, but not so bad. He's still shooting pretty well. But 3-for-5 from three on Sunday, back over 40%. That's my magic number for Langston. Stay above 40%. You'll catch the eye of some owners out there, some GMs out there, some fan bases out there. It helps to be over 40%. I'm kind of kidding, but I'm kind of not. But Langston goes 3-for-5 from three at Staples, up to 40.3%. Came in at 39.8, up to 40.3. Keep it over 40%, Langston. Let's get what we can for you. And like I said, predictably, something like a mid-second-round pick for Langston, probably. But I suggest the Pistons get creative and package their assets to get better assets here on the trade market. The third most important takeaway for me, and I know this is going to be sacrilegious to a lot of you guys out there, and I promise you I'm not a tanking guy, but I think getting the loss on Sunday night was important for the Detroit Pistons. If you're in L.A. and get the upset win with a depleted roster against one of the title favorite Los Angeles Lakers, in Tom Gores' residence of Los Angeles, he would have loved getting that win. That owner, he would have loved that, and maybe, you know, a couple of games like that and a little bit of a streak that they're going to go on here with the easy schedule coming up. Maybe the owner reverses course and says, you know, maybe we don't trade Andre Drummond. Maybe we buy at the deadline. I just think that was an important one to lose, not just for the fact that you get a loss and it hurts in the standings and you drop down, but I didn't want to give Tom Gores some reason to change his mind and keep Andre Drummond for $120 million or something like that. And I'm not going to tell you how to be a fan, and I'm not necessarily going to root for the tank if the Pistons do make trades. I think there's a world where Andre Drummond gets traded this month, maybe even Langston and or Derrick Rose, and maybe this team rallies for a bit. I'm not predicting it. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think this is a playoff team, regardless of what happens the rest of the season. But once the deals are done, like I said, some fresh blood. Sekou plays a lot and maybe continues playing really well. I could see this team rallying a little bit, and I don't have a problem with that. And I know the tank crew is probably listening to me saying that, thinking, what? How could you trade assets, be looking towards the future, and not be looking to improve your draft pick? Well, I just think your team playing well, especially with a bad draft coming up, especially when you're talking about a pick that's more than likely going to be somewhere between, you know, 6 and 12 or 13. And we all know that this draft, as bad as it is, it just kind of turns into a little bit of a crapshoot with those picks. And sure, a higher or lower finish in the standings helps your chances of getting the top four pick, but that's just rolling the dice anyway. Just not my cup of tea. So that's my third biggest takeaway. The loss was good. The second biggest takeaway, yes, I watched the same game as you guys, and I saw Kyle Kuzma score 14 points in 21 minutes. This is a guy whose career is going down the tubes, even though he's a Flint Town guy. We love him here in the state of Michigan, has helped out the relief in Flint as well. Really showed signs of life, a nice late first-round pickup for the Lakers a couple years back. And he was okay in year two as well, but as the Lakers have turned into contenders, he has fallen off a cliff. And it's pretty apparent that LeBron James has eviscerated him at this point. Check out his point-per-game totals in his career. 16.1 as a rookie, 18.7 as a second-year guy, and 12.1 coming off the bench, again, playing 21 minutes there, despite the fact that Avery Bradley goes out with an injury. The Lakers have other injuries that they're dealing with as well. You know what I think? I think the Pistons should trade for him, or at least kick the tires. Does he fit the image of what I want the Pistons players to be? No. I want defensive guys. I want defensive bulldogs, two-way players. And if you're going to be an offensive guy, you better be a really good offensive guy. Knockdown shooter. Kyle Kuzma is not that. But I think where the Pistons are at in terms of the rebuild, which should be starting, hopefully, very soon, they should be in asset accumulation mode. If you can get him at a low value, which he would be at right now, and he grows in value for you, that's a good thing. Maybe you can get Coach Casey to coach him up a little bit and spin him off as an asset next year, or maybe he turns into something that you could throw into major deals in the future, or maybe he turns into a guy that develops into a decent two-way player and a guy that you might lock up to a long-term contract under contract for next season, whereas after that he becomes a restricted free agent. So you have his rights. You could maybe pull one of those deals like Brogdon and Indianapolis or Indiana and Milwaukee did with a restricted guy being swapped, and you could catch an asset for him at that point. So I would be interested in trading for Kyle Kuzma only because he's on the downside. Right? I mean, he's just at the bottom of his value that he's had over these past 3 years. And I think that that's when you got to trade for guys, when they have some potential to go back up in value and they're down right now. You can get them for something. Obviously, a team like the Lakers doesn't have patience for him to improve. They need to win the title this year or next. They need to go out there and get players who are more helpful to that cause and peel off guys that are wilting under the pressure of playing with LeBron James. I'm thinking about guys like Derrick Rose and Langston Galloway as potential fits out there. Salaries aren't unmanageable for Lakers to put something together without messing with their serious, serious pieces. Kuzma, hometown kid, like I said, all that stuff. He'll foam at the mouth for an opportunity to score and be part of a rebirth of his career and with his home state team. And he'll be asked to shoulder some of the scoring for this Detroit Pistons team. And it's nice to have those guys who kind of have their stumbles in their career. They get humbled a little bit. Chauncey Billups was that kind of guy as well. And also, you see guys who played with LeBron who kind of went elsewhere with their career. Think about Brandon Ingram there with New Orleans. And no, I'm not saying that Kyle Kuzma is a Brandon Ingram type of talent and that the rebuild of his career would be anything like Brandon Ingram's is turning into this year. But you could see him being reborn without the shadow of LeBron James going forward. So that's my take on Kyle Kuzma. Maybe there's some kind of Kuzma for Derrick Rose situation that could help out both those teams. They could play Rajon Rondo a lot less, a guy in L.A. who could really fit in with the culture there, one of the NBA's most popular attainable players. And Derrick Rose certainly would be a guy that Rob Pelinka and all the star power people in L.A. would be approval of. But speaking of star power players, the first takeaway from the weekend is obviously the rookie Sekou Doumbouya. Through three games as a starter, he has scored 37 points and grabbed 26 rebounds, so over 10 points per game as I do my calculations here real close. 12.3 points per game, and the 26 rebounds over the three will get you 8.7 rebounds per game for Sekou Doumbouya. The percentages aren't so bad, shooting 14 of 33 from the field for 42.4% and 5 for 15 on three. I don't even have to pull the calculator out for that one. 33%, obviously, that could and should improve throughout his career. And these are horribly small sample sizes. We know about that. But Sunday night's game, you know, wasn't his best game offensively. But I would say more importantly, this guy's been through the ringer, through the fire with his defensive assignments. Showed out pretty well against LeBron James, of all people, on Sunday. LeBron finished with 21 points and 14 rebounds in addition to 11 assists for the triple-double. But there were at times that Sekou made him pass off or made him miss mid-range jump shots, did the things that you want to do when you're going up against LeBron James. Now, on the flip side of that, first part of the fourth quarter, Lakers went on a 14-0 run. The Pistons did respond to that and make it close late yet again, but you could just kind of see LeBron James saying, all right, enough of this, time to get serious, and he certainly did that. But with Sekou, my larger point, and I ran it on Twitter about this a little bit, just that I'm seeing too many people, too many of you guys on Pistons Twitter, that now that Sekou's playing well in a surprise start these last few games, now there's the backlash of the Dwayne Casey and the coaching staff and the organization complaining that Sekou Doumbouya wasn't playing before this, wasn't getting more minutes before this. And just to get this out of the way, I agree that that you might be right, that maybe there's a kernel of truth in that. Maybe a week before he was getting some real minutes, he could have been getting some intermediate type of minutes. And maybe even a month before, you could have gotten him a little bit more of a taste of NBA action at times. I'm not saying that's a completely wrong take to have. I'm just saying that if you're watching Sekou Doumbouya as a newly 19-year-old, 6 months or so into his NBA career, as a player who we all knew was a project, as a player who was drafted at 18 years old out of a foreign country, who speaks a different language than was spoken here in the United States. If you're watching him, and that's your biggest takeaway, is to criticize the coaching staff for not playing him earlier and not sending tweet after tweet after tweet about how happy you are that the coaching staff and the organization has developed him this well so far. Again, not saying it's a completely wrong take that Sekou Doumbouya should have been playing earlier. I'm just saying that the good of what the coaching staff and Dwayne Casey has done with this young man so far, and we're a long ways away from calling Sekou any kind of success story, but so far, this has been an A-plus job by Dwayne Casey and the coaching staff. You saw him in summer league. You saw him in preseason. This was the young guy who looked like he was at least a year away from being any kind of rotational player in the NBA. And here he is getting it defensively. Here he is making those rotations, grabbing rebounds, cutting to the basket like a veteran so far. The three-point shot has always been very smooth for what you might expect out of a raw and athletic 18, 19-year-old prospect. I am just... And again, we're looking at other young players across this roster. Bruce Brown, the strides he's made. Christian Wood. All you guys just want to throw minutes at young guys. That's not the most important part of a rebuild. Development is not just throwing guys who aren't ready onto the floor and rewarding them for bad habits they have on the court and just saying, play through it, get dunked on by every player you could possibly imagine, and just deal with it and grow from it. There's a confidence issue with a lot of stuff. You don't want to be rewarding bad habits. You don't want to give young players time over experienced players because that could hurt your locker room. You do want the veterans involved. You do want the guys who can help you get some wins every now and then. You don't want to create a bad atmosphere where you're winning 15 games, 20 games in a season. Those are holes that are hard to climb out of. Look at the Atlanta Hawks. That's one of the reasons that they want to trade for Andre Drummond, because they're sick of losing. They're sick of having a good player in Trae Young and being the worst team in the NBA. So that's just a lesson that we got to take when we look around the league. And I think with Dwayne Casey's track record of developing players and what he's done so far in developing players with the Pistons, he should be applauded and lauded over and over again on Twitter before you mention your possibly correct statement that maybe Sekou could have gotten some minutes a little bit earlier. But if your company wants to reach an upscale male audience, then your company's ad should be running right here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Get your company connected with this audience. Email Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com, or email locked@lockedonpodcast.com to get more details about increasing your business. All right, I told you a little bit earlier that we'd be talking about the parameters and how I'd be grading the Pistons front office. We're going to save that for tomorrow. Got a little long-winded defending my guy Dwayne Casey and his development against some of the Twitter trolls out there. Hope you guys can appreciate that. But we'll be talking about more trade deadline stuff. You know that's going to be the main topic of discussion for these next several weeks. We're also going to talk about this stretch of soft schedule coming up, scheduled to be joined by Chris Manning of the Locked On Cavs podcast, as two of the next games are coming up against them. Kevin Love's in a trade situation. John Beilein's obviously a name we care about in these parts. But that'll do it for today's show. Plenty to talk about the rest of the month. Excited to be with you guys. Spread the word about the show. I know the numbers spike up come trade time, and they're spiked up already just because I know you guys are interested to see what the Pistons are going to do, which direction this franchise takes. I know we got the Andre Drummond defenders that want to maybe hold on to him or possibly extend him, or what you're going to get for him. And then some of you guys are just waiting for the big man to be shipped out of town. Looks like you're going to get your wish very soon. But we'll talk about all that more in depth tomorrow here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook. Sam, thanks for listening. Talk to you guys tomorrow.